This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Good morning. You're with Saturday Magazine with Janet and Taz with Joy, and we're talking all things religious discrimination.
Janet, you're getting very good at those resets.
That's because you keep throwing me into it, Taz.
No, that's how it is. You're now part of the studio. You're part of the team. You just have to get used to
it. Watch out, Macca. I'll take your job.
He won't like that. That'll make him very nervous.
No, he'll be very competitive.
So let's introduce our panel, Janice. We've got four people in the studio. It is intimate, and you might hear a bit of background crackling because we have to share studio microphones, unfortunately. But that's life. We are a community-based radio station. We don't have, you know, loads of resources to be able to provide everybody with a microphone each. We have in the studio Catherine Dixon from the Human Rights and Equal Opportunity Centre. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
I got that wrong, didn't I?
You did, but that's okay. It's the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission.
There we go.
And good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
Adrienne Walters, good morning to you from the Human Rights Legal Centre.
Good morning, thank you.
And we also have Liam O'Brien from the ACTU, Assistant Secretary.
Morning, Tass. Morning, Janet.
And finally, we also have Paige Burton, who's quite well known to our community as the Engagement Advisor from Equality Australia. Good morning to you, Paige.
Good morning.
Now, I'm going to open up the conversation by asking the panel, do we need to have a religious discrimination bill in Australia? Who'd like to have a go at that first?
I'm happy to, Taz. It's Catherine from the Commission. I think that the Commission, State Commission, has put forward the view that it is important to protect religious freedom at the federal level. And so we would support protecting people against discrimination on the basis of their religious beliefs and activities at the federal level, just like we do at the state level.
You don't believe that our constitution actually provides enough protection?
Well, I mean, I think from a consistency point of view, it's helpful that at the federal level, just like other attributes are protected, that it would be helpful for religious freedom to also be protected. I suppose our position is, though, that this religious discrimination bill takes it further than what's usual in relation to discrimination provisions.
Liam, what do you think?
So I'd agree. I think, I mean, from the trade union movement's perspective, we have had a long history of fighting discrimination in workplaces in the community, and we would agree that whether it be on the basis of sex, gender, or indeed someone's religious belief, that they shouldn't experience discrimination, whether at work or in the community. So, you know, I would question potentially the direction that government's approaching this in terms of their desire to protect religious peoples from discrimination. But we support the principle behind, you know, ensuring that, you know, this attribute is given the same protection as others. I would agree that this bill deviates from traditional anti-discrimination legislation and starts to create a whole range of problems in terms of protecting others from discrimination. But I think as a starting point, we would definitely agree that there is some justification for protecting people on the basis of their religion.
Paige, what do you think? Because clearly you're a member of our community and you're working for our community. What are your reflections on whether we need a bill like this?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we definitely don't need this bill. That's reasonably clear. But again, like same as Liam, we support protections for people of faith, and we know that there are people in this country who are, you know, discriminated against because of their religion. And this bill does in some way fill a gap, particularly in New South Wales and South Australia, for Muslim women and other people. This bill, as Liam said, isn't going about it the right way. It takes it way too far. There's no balancing mechanisms in it that make the bill sort of better for everyone. Religious protections for people should never come at the expense of others. And the way that this bill privileges religious opinions, religious belief over other human rights and other beliefs isn't the right way to do it.
Adrian, what are your reflections on this?
Yeah, I think Paige has hit the nail on the head in terms of it's really important that there are protections for people of faith, and certainly religious minority groups are experiencing discrimination in our country and have been calling out, for example, for better vilification protections. But this bill actually doesn't provide vilification protections. What it is a bill that privileges rights for some at the cost of others, and that's not the right way to go about making laws.
So what I'm hearing from the panel is that you all generally agree that there is a need for some sort of religious discrimination legislation in Australia. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, but again, a bill that protects and doesn't privilege just for a few.
And I think a couple of you also mentioned that it doesn't fit very well with the current architecture that we have around anti-discrimination legislation and human rights legislation nationally or at a state level. How does this bill deviate from that architecture? And you know, what would a better bill look like?
But before you do that, we've just had a question from Matt from Thornbury, and Matt asks, didn't the government own inquiry say that there was no need for a legislation of this type? Who can answer that question? Paige?
Yes, the answer is that. The recommendations from the Ruddock Review were wildly different to what the government has done. And, yeah, again, it just shows that this bill is sort of going back to that idea of a promise to the people who voted no, that we were going to protect you and your rights. So, again, yeah, that review found that there was no need for anything like this bill, and the government have gone ahead and done it anyway.
But I'm hearing you say, all four of you have unanimously agreed that there is a need for a bill like this.
Well, I mean, at the moment at the federal level, we have, for example, a race discrimination law, which provides protections against discrimination on the basis of race, and it has anti-vilification, so protections against hate speech as well. For some religious minority groups, like the Muslim communities and Muslim women, this law isn't necessarily protecting them, and they are experiencing really awful hate speech and violence. And so we think that there is a need for protection, and that we should listen to those communities.
Liam, you're about to say something.
I was just going to add that I think, you know, in reflecting on the Ruddock Review, what it found is that there isn't a lot of evidence of people being discriminated on the basis of religion, save and except the minority groups that we just discussed there. I mean, this bill deviates in pretty fundamental ways with what Philip Ruddock had recommended, not just in terms of the architecture of the bill, but the existence of a religious freedom commissioner, which was explicitly something that was not called for. So you do have to start asking the question, what is motivating the government to do this? And you know, we would agree that in principle, and I think what we're saying here is in principle, somebody should not experience discrimination anywhere, whether it be at work or in the community, on the basis of their religious beliefs. It's the manifestation of that needs to be, you know, balanced against other laws. And that's really where this bill starts to deviate and starts to potentially cloak what we feel will be discrimination, whether it be at work or in the community, on the basis of somebody's religion.
And I guess that's the challenge with this bill departing from the architecture of the rest of the human rights and anti-discrimination legislation, which of course the LGBTIQ community have been intimately involved in over the last 30, 40, 50 years as we've fought for anti-discrimination protections at a state and federal level. And, you know, in many ways that a lot of that is we've achieved that, haven't we, in building that architecture. So back to the question around how does this bill, in diverting from that architecture, how is it deficient, and why isn't it going to achieve what it's supposed to achieve?
Catherine.
Just a couple of points on the architecture. I mean, for a start, the bill, at least in its original form, and I don't think this has changed, but the panel can correct me if I'm wrong, but it sort of sought to override some state legislation. So normally discrimination law at the state and federal level is complementary, and it's a good suite of complementary laws that provides protection for everyone, whereas this bill tries to override some of the existing state protections, for example, for LGBTIQ communities. And so to that extent, it's out of whack. It also expands existing exemptions for religious bodies when it comes to discrimination. So again, that doesn't line up, I guess, with the rest of discrimination law. I mean, they're just a couple of examples, and I think what the panel have already said, there's just some odd things where religious freedom is privileged. So say, for example, normally discrimination and human rights law applies to people, whereas here religious bodies also can claim discrimination. So for those reasons, it's...
I didn't understand that. Mm. That's a very interesting nuance. Can you articulate a bit more about that? No, that's all you know about it.
But no, Liam, I would agree. I think the first major departure here is that this is a human rights bill. It starts to confer human rights on organisations. So I would agree. The easiest way I describe this is that, you know, we have anti-discrimination laws in this country, and yes, this bill starts off like a traditional anti-discrimination statute, but then it essentially converts to a Bill of Rights, and it starts to create these sort of positive rights for people of faith to do things that would otherwise be constrained against discrimination of other people. So I think, you know, when we think about how this bill deviates, I think if the government was bringing forward a traditional anti-discrimination bill that protect religion as a personal attribute, then I think a lot of people would find that okay. This deviates pretty substantially, and you talk about the exemptions. I mean, let's be clear. In this country, there are already significant exemptions for religious institutions and organisations that employ people. Our education sector is riddled with exemptions across the country, and only 18 months ago, the government was forced into a situation where they acknowledged that students in religious schools were suffering discrimination the community did not support. And as a part of this process, had empowered the Law Reform Commission to go out and do some work on this. Disturbingly, when Christian Porter announced this bill back in August, he pushed the timelines around those exemptions, which is really just, again, extending the existing discrimination that we know is occurring in religious schools for another 6 months whilst this debate continues to rage. So we have real concerns about, as I said, the motives of the government in this place, because workers in particularly religious schools are already suffering significant discrimination.
So I think that's probably a key point, really, is that it seems to me from this discussion that the bill is starting from the wrong place. It's a response to a perceived... you know, a public policy debate where one group didn't win it and they feel like they weren't listened to, and therefore they feel like their rights have been transgressed. And so it's not about protecting everybody's rights or building an architecture around human rights for everybody, but it's more about trying to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.